Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Mr. Lincoln, for that great prayer that initiates the Sabbath service. Sabbath services have begun, and here we are together in a place of safety with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, who is at his right hand, and who knows how many of his angels are present today. The Bible tells us when two or more are gathered together in his name, he has promised. That's a promise to be here among us. That's in Matthew 18:12-20. Even more so, hold on just a minute. Even more importantly, this is his time, not ours. He has invited each and every one of us here. He has summoned us to gather on his holy Sabbath to partake the spiritual meal that has been prepared and inspired for all of us. Today, I would like to speak on a subject that I have discussed before, but this time I would like to include some additional points that I didn't have the opportunity to cover previously. The title of my message is, Why did Jesus weep? Before the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus knew that he was about to perform a great miracle that would bring joy to Lazarus' sisters and those who were mourning. Yet, Jesus literally wept. He didn't just cry. He wept. His emotions overwhelmed him. There is a big difference between crying and weeping. Why did Jesus weep? Was it because of the unbelief of people who did not believe in him? That's what some theologians believe. Some scholars suggest that the weeping along with the groaning in spirit mentioned just before was a reaction of the sting of death. Think of this. Jesus was about to show Lazarus' sisters and those who were mourning, a wonderful news that would make him happy. Yet, he wept. He didn't just cry. He wept. When my father died, I wept until I ran out of tears. The same happened with my mother and my younger brother. Why did Jesus do this? I want you to put yourself in his position. 4 days earlier, Lazarus' sisters from Bethany sent a message to Jesus telling him that Lazarus was very ill and asked him to come and heal him. Lazarus' sisters were very close friends of Jesus, so she had great confidence that he would heal him. They did not have telephones or modern forms of communications back then. Everything had to be done by foot. The distance between Bethany and where Jesus was staying was only a couple of miles away. Not far. It would have been easy for Jesus to go and heal Lazarus, but instead he refused to go immediately. He said that the reason was for the glory of God. When he told his disciples that Lazarus had died, they thought he meant that Lazarus was just merely sleeping. Jesus had resurrected others before, but this resurrection of Lazarus was different. He specifically said it was for the glory of God, as in John 11:4. Jesus never walked alone, not ever. In John 12, verse 49, it's stated that Jesus did not speak his own words. He spoke only what the Father commanded him to say. Jesus' teachings and actions were guided by the Father, revealing the authority and the direction given to him by God. Just imagine the feeling of expressed by Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. In John 11:33, it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Here is the reason I believe that Jesus wept. He deliberately waited in the narrative that he said the delay was for the glory of God, He says that the delay was for the glory of God, but that did not make the sister's pain any less real at that moment. When he arrived, both Martha and Mary said this exact same thing. Lord, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now Jesus saw the direct result of his decisions to stay away, even though he had a higher purpose for this miracle. Seeing the heartbreak that he allowed likely weighed heavily upon him. Think about this. Jesus deliberately allowed those who loved Lazarus to endure 4 dreadful pain days. Days of dreadful pain, I'm sorry. And overwhelming feeling of abandonment when he could have prevented that tragedy. He could have healed Lazarus by distance. He did it before. He groaned in the spirit. He was troubled. And he wept. This shows us a God who is deeply moved by our pain, even when that pain is part of a greater plan. The significance of 4 days. In the Jewish tradition at that time, there was common belief that the soul hovered near the body for 3 days, but by the 4th day, all hope was gone because the decay had begun. After the 3 days, the body starts to decompose. As Martha said, Lord, by this time, he stinks. It was also customary for the dead body to be guarded for more than 3 days, partly in case the person might still be alive, and also to prevent rodents or animals from mutilating the body. Afterwards, the tomb would be sealed with a heavy stone. Now, facing the stink of death. The text specifically mentions the odor of death. Jesus was not merely facing a grieving family. He was confronting a harsh physical reality of what death does to the human body. By waiting 4 days, Jesus proved beyond any doubt that this was a true resurrection, not merely a revival. This event was recorded for us today. Think about it. If Jesus knew the thoughts of the Pharisees and high priests, then he surely knows what people think and preach today. Today there is much debate over whether Jesus remained in the tomb for less than 3 complete days and nights. Consider this carefully. Everything Jesus taught, everything he said and did, rested upon his claim that he was who he was, who he said he was. Like a man pushing all his chips to the center of a poker table, Jesus placed everything upon the statement that he would remain in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. If he had remained there only part-time, which a lot of people teach these days, unbelievers, Pharisees, priests, and critics would argue that Jesus didn't die. He lied. Then we wouldn't have a Savior, huh? His death would have been done in vain. Not much is written about Lazarus. This account gives us valuable insight into Jesus' own resurrection, which many today question regard the true duration of his death and resurrection. The scriptures are like a jigsaw puzzle, truth revealed when we diligently search for it. As Isaiah 28:10 says, for precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Of all the people who witnessed Lazarus' resurrection, no one claimed that it was false. The duration of Christ in the grave 3 days and three nights. It's all tied up with the resurrection of Lazarus as well. It reveals the important truth regarding the holiness of the Sabbath. This understanding challenges the common teaching that many traditional churches today that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. Jesus understands better than anyone the pain and sorrow that suffering brings. As fully human, he learned through the sufferings he endured, all while facing his own impending death, which will occur only days later. Yet Jesus was not merely human. He is God, the Lord of all creation, possessing authority over and ruling all things. Even so, he wept just as you and I do, demonstrating his deep compassion and understanding for human grief. Have a great Sabbath.